are coming up. Just make a point that Kristen, Ann, and I, as part of our respective organizations, are all part of a group called the Global Health Coalition, which is a very informal group with monthly phone calls and occasional meetings, just to be tracking some processes of the Global Health Initiative and trying to follow how it's going, and also encourage our government partners to be setting bold targets, to be following up on programs, etc. And so if anyone in the audience is actually interested in that, you can see any of us at the end of the session today, and we'd be happy to tell you more about it. So I want to introduce our third panelist, Ann Starrs, who is currently the president of Family Care International, and Ann is actually a co-founder and now president of Family Health International, which is a non-governmental organization that works to make pregnancy and childbirth safer in the developing world. FCI has projects and programs in sub-Saharan Africa, Latin America, and Asia, and also does a great deal of advocacy and policy work around maternal and child health. Ann herself is on multiple coalitions and boards and groups to really make sure that we are keeping maternal and child health our first basket, very much at the forefront of global health efforts. So Ann is going to be talking about integration and the Global Health Initiative. So go for it. Thanks.
Many thanks, Donna, for that introduction. And so far, we're doing really well, I think, on these various presentations being complementary, even though none of us actually spoke to each other before we got here today. exactly. So I wanted to start out just putting up there a direct quote from the announcement when President Obama stated that the Global Health Initiative was going to be launched back in May of 2009. Where he said, "We will not be successful in our efforts to end deaths from AIDS, malaria, and tuberculosis unless we do more to improve health systems around the world, focus our efforts on child and maternal health, and ensure that best practices drive the funding for these programs." What I'm going to be talking about today primarily is two elements of the Global Health Initiative principles, the one on women, girl, and gender equity approaches, and the principle around integration. So I just wanted to put up this slide so that people could get some sense of this is the request for the Global Health Initiative for 2012. I think it's important, I don't think it's been said explicitly, but it's important to recognize and to understand about the Global Health Initiative. It is not a standalone program. It is the combination of the health-related budgets of USAID, PEPFAR, and the Centers for Disease Control. So you can see a significant portion of it is related to HIV. If you include in the Global Fund section, it's, I think, roughly 80% is for AIDS, TB, and malaria together. And then you see down there at the bottom the portions that are for nutrition, for maternal and child health, for family planning, reproductive health, and for neglected tropical diseases. This kind of massive slide shows the relative proportions. These slides, by the way, are from the Kaiser Family Foundation. This slide shows the relative proportion of the budgets for fiscal years 2009 through 2012. So I'm not going to go into it in detail. It's just you can see at a glance, depending on how good the colors are, what the relative breakdown is. And then this just is a different graphical presentation of this. So you can see that the bulk of the funding is for HIV. This slide in particular shows how the HIV portion of the funding more or less has flattened out over the last couple of years, whereas the malaria, to some extent the Global Fund, the MNCH piece has increased, family planning, reproductive health, more or less steady state over the last couple of years. These are the seven core Global Health Initiative principles, and I'm going to focus, as I said at the beginning, on the first one, which is the focus on women, girls, and gender equality. And the fifth one on increasing impact through strategic coordination and, in particular, integration. Chris talked about the country ownership and the sustainability issues. Other key principles that are reflected here are strengthening and leverage key multilaterals and other partnerships, improving the metrics monitoring and evaluation, and promoting research and innovation. So the advocacy community and the GHI coalition that Donna talks about is fully supportive of these principles, and what we work on doing is to try and push, and as well as work with our government partners, to make sure these principles are really rolled out and fully integrated. So turning first to the guidance on the Women, Girls, and Gender Equality Principle, this was developed through a very open and collaborative process in mostly 2010, as well as the early part of this year. And it lays out three basic requirements or expectations for country strategies under the Global Health Initiative. One is that they will include gender analysis, that they will include a certain narrative around women, girls, and gender equality, and that they will include components on measurement and evaluation. So the Women, Girls, and Gender Equality Principle is designed to address gender-related inequalities and disparities that disproportionately compromise the health of women and girls, and in turn affect families and communities. The guidance is aimed to ensure that women and girls will be key actors in the planning and implementation and monitoring of health and development programs that are supported by the U.S. government. This is a long list. This is the 10 key elements of implementation of the Women, Girls, and Gender Equality Principle. I'm not going to go in them in great depth. This PowerPoint, I think, will be accessible on the APHA website, but if you just take a quick scan, you're going to see that there, again, it's a very well-developed and comprehensive and laudable list of principles, ensuring equitable access, meaningful participation, addressing the issues of men and boys, gender-based violence, et cetera, building capacity of institutions from the community level. The key question, of course, is how are these principles and points being put into action? What's actually being done to design services to meet people's needs, and in particular the needs of women and girls? Again, the Kaiser Family Foundation has done an assessment of how these principles are reflected in the country strategies that were developed for what were called the GH Plus countries, of which I think 7 of those 8 countries have country strategies that are available for public scrutiny. And the analysis found that the principle had a clear impact on the content and plan direction of most, if not all, of the country strategies, that all 7 clearly addressed the health of women and girls within their top 5 priorities, that they focused on women and girls as the beneficiaries of health services, and several went further to look at gender equality issues more broadly, for example, by including women and girls in decision-making and planning of healthcare programs, and by addressing some of these social, cultural, and economic determinants of health. But the extent of that focus varied quite a bit by country. Only 1 country, for example, out of the 7 that have shared their country strategies actually addressed all 3 of the requirements that are listed in the guidance, and while most of them addressed only 1. There, I'm also going to talk a little bit about the issue of the integration, although that's now going to come up, in integration in terms of how that's reflected in the country strategies. 6 of the 7 country strategies specifically talk about integration of services. Malawi, for example, talks about integrating HIV, antenatal care, and family planning, and conducting screening for gender-based violence in HIV testing and counseling. Ethiopia's plan talks about integrating prevention of mother-to-child transmission with antenatal care and maternal care services. So going forward, the real test is going to be how are these strategies implemented at the country level, looking at whether other country-specific, other program-specific country plans, such as PEPFAR and PMI, more comprehensively address the needs of women, girls, what lessons can be learned, and how U.S. government technical assistance and non-financial resources can best be leveraged for this implementation. So turning to the integration part of the agenda, there's an interesting set of definitions and approaches to integration that I found in preparing for this presentation. WHO defines integration as being the organization, coordination, and management of multiple activities and resources to ensure the delivery of more efficient and coherent services in relation to cost, output, impact, and use. And this definition is reflected in the PEPFAR guidance, in the Global Health Initiative, and USAID's best practice. I don't know about you guys, but there's something about WHO terminology. I read sentences like this, and it's like I have to read it 3 times in order to really understand what that means. I think more concretely, what is integration in practical In a practical sense, it means offering two or more services at the same facility during the same operating hours. That providers of one particular service, such as HIV testing, encourages clients to consider using other services, such as family planning, at the same visit. Ideally, this range of services is under one roof. There have been a number of studies that clearly show that having those services available within the same facility rather than having to go, even if it's a hospital, across a courtyard into another part of the hospital, but having them in the same place significantly improves utilization. But effective referral has to be available. And the aim of this integration of services is to make services both more convenient for the user and more efficient for the institution that's implementing the services. The Global Health Initiative's take on integration, specifically from its documents, it seeks to achieve more value for money by promoting what they call smart integration, which is aimed at maximizing synergies and efficiencies. And there's an emphasis that integration should be followed where it makes technical, financial, and cultural sense, but is not an end in itself, which I think is an important point to keep in mind. What are some of the opportunities for integrated services? We look at this list of PEPFAR numbers. In 12 African PEPFAR countries, there are 10.5 million women per year who make at least one antenatal care visit. 6.5 million women per year make at least 4 antenatal care visits. There are 15 million births per year, et cetera, et cetera. You can see these numbers for yourself, but every single one of these contacts with the health service is an opportunity to provide integrated services, to provide AIDS, TB, malaria detection, treatment, and care. This slide highlights some of the opportunities for integration in terms of the overlapping populations. We've got women, 1.8 billion women of reproductive age. This is global. We've got 210 million pregnancies per year. We've got 33 million, roughly, HIV positive, which overlaps significantly with, of course, that women of reproductive age and the pregnant women. We've got the children and the newborns there who overlap with the HIV. So this is just to illustrate from that graphical perspective, how much opportunity there is to meet the multiple needs, in particular of women for themselves and for the children and the infants that they bear and take care of in ideally a single setting, a single day of the week. This slide shows just sort of more concretely what are the key elements of reproductive, maternal, newborn, and child health services on the left-hand side. What are some key components of HIV, TB, and malaria services on the right-hand side. I'm not going to go through it in detail, but just one interesting thing that I have noted coming primarily from the maternal, newborn, child health side, but working a lot with the HIV, TB, and malaria community, you talk to the MNCH community, and they talk about that set of services that's on the left-hand side and talk about how HIV, TB, and malaria can be integrated. You go to a Global Fund meeting or a PEPFAR meeting, and they talk about the services on the right-hand side and talk about how antenatal care, postnatal care, et cetera, could be integrated into the services on the right-hand side. It doesn't matter where you start. The point is that they need to be provided jointly as much as possible. I should say, quick aside here, clearly this is most relevant for primarily the countries of sub-Saharan Africa, where they have a significant burden both of maternal, newborn, child mortality as well as AIDS, TB, and malaria. Chris spoke very articulately about the needs of marginalized at-risk populations, men who have sex with men, injecting drug users, who of course exist in those countries, but they don't have as much of a need, most of them, for maternal, newborn, child health services. So this integration agenda is primarily one that we're talking about for as relevant for sub-Saharan Africa and some portions of Asia as well. So what evidence do we have about the benefits of integrating programs and services? It's still pretty preliminary. We need certainly more research, but here are some examples that there is some evidence that improves both access to and utilization of key services, such as HIV testing, condom use, et cetera. There is evidence that providing comprehensive services in a single location means less stigma for those seeking services. If a clinic provides a full range of services, and not just HIV testing, if a woman is seen walking through the doors of that clinic, it's not going to be immediately assumed that she is HIV positive. There's some evidence of net cost savings from integration of prevention services, for example, into MCH. And while some of this evidence is shaky and can go other in two directions because there's a risk of overloading, but there is some evidence that health workers benefit from increased skills, are able to work more efficiently, and that the marginal cost of adding, for example, syphilis testing, training in syphilis testing to HIV testing can help reduce costs overall. So in conclusion, I think these two key GHI principles, the focus on women, girls, and gender equality, and increasing impact through strategic integration, are key to meeting users' needs, to addressing the gender-related obstacles that limit women's and girls' access to health services, and making health services higher quality and more responsive to women, families, and communities. Thank you.